Thanks for joining us today. This is Mike Moody, along with Jeff Buckles and Mark B.B. This Bible study program, we come to you from 1 to 1:15 each weekday afternoon, and we find ourselves in the book study of 1 Timothy, as I've been looking at that in recent weeks and months, and our brother Mark B.B. will be coming to you in a couple of weeks, Lord willing, in Ephesians chapter 4. And next week, we're looking at our brother Jeff Buckles in Romans chapter 8. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father and our God, we again come unto you. We come in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just ask that you lead and you'd guide in all things that pertain to this study and the giving out of your word. We pray that the people listening that know you, Lord, as their Savior, would open the word and study diligently. We pray, Lord, that we would not be content just to go on what we've heard, but that we would study it and be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We just pray, Lord, thanking you for the precious word and the precious Lord Jesus Christ that shed his blood for us. We ask that you'd lead in his precious name. Amen. Okay, again, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll give a P.O. box at the end of the program, Lord willing. Anyone has a comment or any question or prayer request, just write it. But today we're in 1 Timothy 2, and we covered in previous studies verse 1 that broke down four areas of prayer. We saw the area of supplications, prayer itself, intercessions, and giving of thanks. The scripture says in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 2 that these things are to be made for all men. It says, for kings and for all that are in authority, we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, as we have approached 1 Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are what we refer to as the pastoral epistles, so we can find certain studies that tie within these three books, such as the word godliness in verse 2. This is a theme that you see throughout these three books, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. In fact, I believe the word in your English Bible, in the King James, you would not see this word mentioned in the epistles, the Pauline epistles, until you come here to 1 Timothy. Now, of course, we see much spoken about godliness throughout the New Testament, but here is where you see a great emphasis with godliness. We made a point to note that sound doctrine and sound behavior are pointed out in these three books. And here is godliness. Godliness is brought up at the beginning of Titus. And Lord willing, we'll go into a word study of the word godliness at some point in these three books. But here in verse 2, when it speaks of praying for those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, let's turn to some scriptures that show us our attitude that we should have toward those in leadership. Let's take the leadership of our country. In 1 Peter 3, verse 13, it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. See, we do it for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. It goes on to say, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak for maliciousness, but as the servants of God. So it goes on to say, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So we should submit ourselves to those in authority, for God has placed them in their position of authority. Even when we have ungodly men, without government, we would have anarchy. So God is the one that ordains the government. Let us look in Romans 13. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no authority but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resist the power, resist the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall be received to themselves damnation or judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. He goes on and says, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So we see that the authorities, the kings, the rulers, the governors, are here ordained by God. So when we go to 1 Timothy 2, and it says to pray for those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Surely we don't agree with everything that the government comes up with. But what we're told as Christians to do is to pray for them, to pray for their souls. And we intercede for people. That's one thing that we can see is needful, to pray for their souls, such as Paul in Romans 9 and Romans 10, where he prayed for his kinsmen that they might be saved. But we need to pray for those in leadership. It goes on to those in the leadership roles of a local assembly. We see we're to admonish them to respect those that are the shepherds in the local assembly, and they need prayer. We see in Acts 13, when there was five men, the prophets and teachers of the local church at Antioch, and when they sent Paul and Barnabas out, two of those five men were sent out into the mission field. They sent them out with prayer. So we think of those in leadership as ones that do pray, but they themselves need prayer. We think of when Paul, or rather Peter, in Acts 12, was in prison. The Christians prayed for Peter. We think of Peter as one that was a leader. He was one that proclaimed the word of God. Yet, he himself needed prayer. So let's pray for those in authority, such as the government, and such as those that are shepherds in the local assembly of God. Now, when we're in verse 3, notice this. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. When we speak of things that are good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, you know, again, when we go to Titus, we'll be looking at this little phrase, Lord willing, as well. There are certain things that is well-pleasing in the sight of God, and that you must be saved for things to be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. For when you're a child of God, you have that relationship and you have that responsibility to live according to His Word. But an unsaved person has their destiny in the lake of fire, and they can do nothing that will please God. But here it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's good and acceptable to pray for those in authority, and to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. But as we go on to say these things are good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, he says in verse 4, he tells us a little about himself. He says, who will have all men to be saved? That word, I understand, in the original for who will have is the word who desires. He desires that all men are to be saved. In the Word of God, we have the balance of truth, of rightly dividing the word of truth. On one hand, God is sovereign. On the other hand, man is responsible to repent. Now, we have a hard time in our minds that are not perfect or not yet brought into the presence of God. We still have these vile bodies. There's only so much we can comprehend, but with the help of the Word of God, instead of comparing and taking one or the other, let us just say amen to both. God is sovereign. He knows all things. He knew all things from eternity past. He knows all things into eternity future. Yet at the same time, he declares that whosoever will may come. So yes, God is sovereign, and yet man is responsible to repent. So when he says he desires that all men are to be saved, this doesn't mean every person on the face of this earth will repent or will be saved. He desires that all men are to be saved. But as we see in the book of Philippians, the scripture tells us there, if you were to turn over there into chapter 2 and verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our brother Mark mentioned this just last week, that those that are in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, representing those that are lost in hell, every soul will one day confess Christ as Lord. So when we go to the scripture in 1 Timothy 2 and it says that our God will have all men to be saved, he desires all to be saved, but he also acknowledges in his word that some will one day confess him as Lord, but it will be eternally too late to spend eternity with him. For one day every knee shall bow, those in heaven, those in earth, on the earth, and those under the earth. My friend, do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you yielded to the desire of God that you would be saved and in his family, to be one of his children? Have you been adopted into the family of God, born again, called out of darkness into the marvelous light, reconciled? Do you have peace with God? My friend, 1 Timothy 2:4 says of our God and Savior that he would desire that all men were to be saved. We know by reading the Word of God that all will not be saved, but God gives all the opportunity to be saved. And he says, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. We'll leave off with that thought and jump into verse 4 tomorrow with a thought of the truth. The truth. We could close in saying that certainly Christ himself is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. He's not a way. He's not a truth. He's not a life. He is the way, the truth, the life. Yes, it's dogmatic, and yes, it's an absolute truth. Ones today would say there's no absolutes, but when they declare dogmatically that there are no absolutes, then they themselves don't realize that they're making a dogmatic statement. So yes, even in the foolishness of men, we must acknowledge that there is absolute truth. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. This is Mike Moody with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Our P.O. Box is 689 in Ramsor, North Carolina. Zip is 27316.